Welcome to another exciting episode of Scuttlebutt, the official podcast of the National Museum of the Surface Navy. Today we are joined in the studio with our warden, who is making funny faces over there. Warden, do you want to introduce yourself?
Good morning.
Yeah, that would be Jonathan Williams, our Chief Executive Officer.
Hi.
Dr. Doolittle, I think, is the current nickname for Kyle Abe.
I'm liking Gomez, though.
I think Gomez is better.
Gomez actually might be, yeah. You change nicknames fairly frequently there. Kyle Abe, yeah. Our development manager. Across from him is Mike Getcher, Nuts and Bolts, our Chief Operating Officer and Chief Engineer. And, of course, pushing buttons is Marianne Fengler, our skater. Producer, executive assistant.
Token skater.
Token skater. There you go. My name's David Canfield. I am the tech guy. And we are talking today about a brand new tour.
If everybody can stop giggling.
I'm sorry.
We may be editing this part.
I should have never decided to search the internet. He looks like Burt Reynolds, so I'm like, what characters did Burt Reynolds play? I mean, we all know he was the bandit,
Smokey,
right?
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, he was
the
bandit.
Not Smokey, that's
so
the other guy.
So I start going down the list, and I forgot that Burt Reynolds played Jack Horner in Boogie Nights.
There you go.
I actually haven't seen Boogie Nights.
Seen Boogie Nights.
Boogie Nights.
That's why I started laughing. Is because have you seen Boogie Nights?
I'm with Marianne on this one.
Okay. You've seen Boogie Nights?
I remember the song.
Oh, yeah.
David, you've seen Boogie Nights.
Absolutely.
Okay. So you guys won't get it, but anybody on the podcast is just going to start dying at this point when they hear that. So I will leave it from there because it is so not down a road we need to go down.
Seems like I have some movies to
probably
watch this
put
weekend.
A link yeah. in the podcast. Yeah. Boogie Nights.
Yeah.
Oh boy.
It is definitely not an appropriate movie for.
I figure that's a search on your own
one.
Kind of thing.
Yeah. It's not a young one.
We're not going to enable that behavior.
Yeah.
No.
So let's talk about escaping.
Escape the mothball fleet.
Because we are escaping our own minds in the podcast.
Yeah, well, that's what you do.
So escaping the mothball fleet, what do we want to talk about?
So you got the idea for that, didn't you? Like,
I do
over
everything.
A year
we
ago.
All know how amazing I am with my ideas.
It's all about
you. We are lucky to be in the presence of you.
Award winner, warden.
I'm absolutely incredible, and my ideas are just amazing, and we all know that.
Well, you throw them out there, and then we do all the legwork.
Or you look at me like cross-eyed, like this, he's nuts. He's gone off the rails.
Yes. Yeah,
so. Well, and then we still do all the legwork. So.
Yeah. Then you still do all the legwork. So
this actually with the idea for an escape room, and we went mm-hmm. pretty far down that path, but it became
years
kind
ago.
It's a ship. And one of the problems you have with an escape room is, you know, people will disassemble the room to solve the puzzles.
Yeah.
And it became problematic with people trying to take the ship apart. And when we did some sample stuff, so it just was kind of a non-starter.
So I think, you know, going back to how this came about, because yeah, the team was working on escape room for a long time because I think they became popular and we kind of were hopping on fads and which we don't hop on fads too much anymore. But it's really kind of started in, and I think this is for some of our listeners out there that may have businesses or may be involved in the museum industry or something, really looking at what is authentically you. Like what is really authentically you? And sometimes that's hard to identify, right? And we know in the museum industry, I was looking at numbers yesterday, you know, stagnant, the industry as an entire in its whole for museums are seeing stagnant attendance, if not a little bit of drop off. And unless, of course, you're the Bubblegum Museum or one of those.
Ice Cream Museum.
And so we're seeing some stagnant, Jelly Belly Museum. But we're seeing stagnant growth in the museum sector. And if we look at the subsector of ship museums, it's even in a more difficult situation because some of this ties back to World War II, or people look at it as World War II, even though we're an 80s platform. So how do we innovate and become, you know, connecting to the future generations and provide something interesting? And that's where authentically looking at it and saying, you know, when we go aboard ships to do searches for these things, like our last episode on artifacts, which we didn't even dive into, but going on to mothballed ships to look for things, you have no power. You don't know where things are. You're kind of looking for things. And at some point you're having to escape that ship, hopefully, you know, find your way out. And we had to do the same thing when we came to the Iowa.
Yeah, let me speak on that a little bit, because so the Iowa was in Sassoon Bay. Forgive the voice today. I've got a little, you know, thing in the throat. But the ship was tied up on row. Yeah, really, Kermit. It was tied up on row G, and as I recall, there were 11 or 12 ships there, and literally all rafted together. And we had some needs. We had some stuff we had to go find, and we had about 6 weeks there in Sassoon Bay. Usually it was just you and I and Jeremy, but there was also occasionally other people came aboard, David or Dave Way or somebody.
Or Bosun.
Yeah, both boats came by too.
Bosun helped us.
So we got permission to go ship to ship to try to find these parts. Became known as a mic walk because I was usually running off and doing that. But we're looking for welding cable and short power connectors and rat guards and, you know, any kind of block and tackle gear, things like that. But we literally had to walk aboard 11 different ships that we'd never been before or on before at all, and they were all dark. They were completely dark, and there was one or two doors openable. And so we got the keys in many cases and had escorts, and we would just go search a ship with flashlights. And there's funny stories about that. But you had to figure out the ship in just literally, you know, 15 or 20 minutes. You know, this massive vessel, several hundred thousand square feet or more, 600, 700, 800 feet long, and you're just trying to figure it all out. We would find the plans or the prints and get a feel for how the ship was shaped, if you will, internally, and then start go looking for things.
Yeah.
It was an amazing experience.
I mean, and you'd come across closed doors, and you'd go, oh, can't go that way. Let's turn around and see if we can find another way, and it'd be pitch dark.
Yeah, pitch dark. You know, David has that amazing light stick or lightsaber.
Yeah, but it lasts like only 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Oh, come on. It lasted longer than that, but it did go dark in the very bottom of the Cinnabon. What was it?
The Cimarron. Yep. Well, let's use the appropriate names on this.
Yeah, we had
Cimarron. We had the Roanoke.
Which we won't talk about.
Yeah, which we won't say what the Roanoke was.
We had Miss Piggy.
The Haciampa.
Miss Piggy.
Miss Billion.
Miss Billion was Miss Piggy.
Yeah. And so, we had nicknames for everything. So
yeah, we had nicknames for everything. And we got to know some of those ships really well. Then we went over to one of the other rows and we went on an LSD or something. And luckily, that one was pitch dark. We came around the corner and almost stepped into a flooded bay.
Yeah, I remember that.
Wow. Into the well deck.
Yeah, it's pretty sketchy, you know, going into some of these things too. But they've been abandoned for years, for decades. Yeah.
We have a strike down hatch up here just close to where we are in the training room on second deck that we call the pit of death because
when we stepped aboard the ship, it was mostly dark. I would say one out of every 8 or 10 lights was working, and there was no safety rails. There's no chain around that thing, as I recall.
Yeah.
It was literally just a black hole in the deck, you know, and there was lights aboard the ship, usually, not always, but usually, but very few, you know, once again, 1 out of 10, maybe, just because the light bulbs had burned out.
Well, light bulbs had burned out, and I think there was a power issue for a couple of weeks, 3 to 5 weeks or so.
Well, they actually ran across the 13 or 14,000 volt cable that fed power to the roads.
Yeah. So they had to rerun a new cable, and so she was literally dark for a little bit. But, you know, authentically looking at it, like, how do you create, you know, you've got 6 weeks to tow the ship out, and frankly, you have a multi-page checklist to go through. You have a tow plan to go through, and have to find this stuff and check it and make sure it works and ballast water and do all kinds of things to get the ship moving.
Yeah, as I recall, we had a bunch of stuff. We had multiple inspections, the Coast Guard, we had the Crowley, our tow provider, we had a surveyor come out, and we had
Supervisor Salvage.
Soup Salve had to come out and inspect the vessel, so we were running around. The first inspection we had with the Coast Guard was literally in the dark, literally, because they had cut the cable and didn't have the power on. We had to go figure out all the watertight barriers, so we had to use the liquid loading diagram. We had to go verify that the rudders were locked, that the shafts were locked. I mean, there was a ton of stuff to do. And then you and I and Jeremy ballasted 300 tons of fresh water on the ship.
Yep.
Wow.
And that was an experience.
Well, and let's remember that
we had to replace every one of those watertight, every one of the void covers too.
No, we did that later in Richmond.
That was Richmond. Luckily, the inland tow, we didn't have to deal with it. But the let's remember all the doors, all the exterior doors were completely silicone sealed shut with inches of silicone. There was only two doors that got you in the ship, the one aft on the port side and one of the wardroom doors, the starboard wardroom door.
It was port aft and port right next to David's office. And
yeah.
You know, I remember about the third week into that 6 week thing, you and I were just disgusted because just the air inside was oppressive.
Yeah.
You know, I'm talking, if you smell the ship now, you're talking orders of magnitude more oppressive. And so finally, you just said, to heck with this. And
we just started popping them open. It's like, it's going, we're taking the ship anyway. So yeah,
the ship is ours. Not, it's been given to us by the Navy, but until we actually untie from the row, it's not technically ours. So we had to be a little cautious.
Yeah, but we just started popping things. Escape the Mothball Fleet Tour, which I'm hoping takes off. I think people don't quite understand it and need to know about it. It's really a little over two hour experience where you have to track and find those things,
we kind of looked at what you guys had to find. We pulled up the Navy checklist, which is 158 items long, and we were like, that's a few too many. Mm-hmm. And just basically figured out what could we do that would replicate what you guys went through, and you know, put together a checklist and keep it, you know, there's a flow to it, and there's a there are elements of escape room in it. There's a bit of a scavenger hunt to it, but you're essentially guiding yourself. You kind of get a list that you need to check off, and it's hard to describe it without giving it away.
Yeah. Well, from my perspective, I was part of the guinea pig test runs early on when I hardly knew how to get to my office and back. And for me, I'd gone on the normal tour route, walk through, you follow the arrows and you experience kind of the different parts of the ship that we have. And you are there as a guest. You feel like you're there to learn. Mm-hmm. When you're on the Escape the Mothball Fleet tour, it's not a tour. You are truly experiencing the ship as if you are trying to solve this puzzle. And so for me, I'm halfway through kind of going through some of the different stages. I'm realizing I've already traveled 6 decks. I've accomplished these couple of things, and I knew nothing before I really was introduced to this tour. And so people who are coming on board, you may know a little bit about history. You may know a little bit about how ships operate and the layout and everything like that. But you are really taking yourself through a day in the life of trying to accomplish this task. And so it's a really cool experience because time flies. You're not necessarily thinking I've been here for an hour and a half. Following a route, you're on your own to an extent, getting the chance to travel where you may want to go on each
decks. You essentially get to go exploring.
Yeah.
You have guides with you to keep you safe. And, you know, if you get really stuck, well, they'll help you out. Yeah. But for the most part, you're guiding yourself and trying to find this stuff you've never set eyes on before. And we used a lot of things so there are the way you're finding, there's a little bit of a map that we won't share, but there's a funky little ship map that you're following, and there are markings that we did not add that were there when we got the ship and that these guys had to follow. And I think the Mothball crew used as reference. And so we just kind of blended it that way. And it all started, we didn't really have a focus for it at first. And then when it kind of clicked about the Navy checklist, that's when it all kind of came together. We went through a whole bunch of different iterations. We tried to use a couple of things, and they were too hard. And then we finally got it distilled down, and it runs real smoothly now, and it's a lot of fun.
And you were kind enough to turn the lights on.
Yeah. Yeah. It'd be fun if we could do it with red lights at some point, like do a night version of it and do it with the red lights.
Yeah, running through the ship without lights was quite an experience. And plus, mm-hmm. there's other things that are not part of the tour, namely that certain portions of the ship were divided up for dehumidification purposes, and you literally had no pathway in certain areas. And
awful. That's not something we've been able to replicate on the tour. But, you know, I served on the ship, and I couldn't find my way around because every door I wanted to go through had a metal plate welded over it.
Yeah, it was pretty weird.
We get some sense of that because, you know, ladders are not necessarily right by where you need to be to find things, and entrances to compartments the same way, too. So you have to figure out if you need to get a place X, you might have to go to places Y and Z and go back to place X. So you get a little bit of that experience because you don't know where you're going. And, you know, like I said, things are not necessarily where you expect them to be.
Yeah, it was a pretty amazing experience, largely in the dark. I mean, this checklist is kind of interesting. You can't just tow a vessel like this. You have to have a permit to do that. And in our case, we also had to have blessing from the supervisor of salvage for the United States Navy. And so that's where this checklist came from. And you had to make sure that the insurance people were happy, the surveyors, the tow company. You know, we had to do a whole bunch of stuff. And just ballasting the ship was an amazing experience for Jonathan and I. We actually had water leaking from tank to tank. So we were scrambling, trying to make sure that we didn't have water going in places we didn't want it. It was quite a bit of effort. And when we talk about ballasting, it's really so we can bring her stern up. Uh-huh. Excuse me, the bathymetry there, which is the depth of water where she was at, was very, very shallow. And she was going to be dragging in the mud if we didn't do something. So we had to put water up in her bow and bring her bow down and bring her stern up to be able to do that.
Yeah, that's cool about the liquid loading diagram is it's all marked. And it's like if you fill this tank, you're going to bring the bow down this high and you're going to raise the stern. It's actually marked on the liquid loading diagram, so you sort of know where to put things.
Jonathan, you're looking all over the map like you're looking for us.
Well, I just noticed there's a combing over there that they just welded a piece of steel right in the middle of the combing.
Yeah, it's an old door.
Yeah.
World War II, probably.
Just interesting.
Yeah.
I was looking around and then, you know, I've always got a million ideas going on. I looked at the war posters and I was thinking about a new clothing line that we want to come out with next year. So, I've got a cool holiday gift for this coming out.
That might be our next interactive tour, sort of like an escape room tour, is the working with Jonathan tour. You have to constantly flex to new ideas several times a day, sometimes several times an hour.
You don't even want to know. I mean, my mind goes like this all the time. 24 hours a day.
Well, I love this particular idea. It's been so much fun. I've guided a bunch of these tours, and it's a blast watching people go through it.
Well, you end in a pretty cool, as long as you figured out the tech team really created something super cool.
Absolutely.
Which we won't say what that is, but they created something super cool that's probably one of the coolest things we have yet.
Very fun project.
You guys did an amazing job.
You know, I got to tell you, I look at the uptake of this tour, and I'm shocked. If people really knew what this was like, they would take this in a heartbeat. It's probably one of the coolest things out there. And I'm not quite sure why people are not buying this like they should at this point. But
it's a fixed price for a group of people, too. So it's a great way for a group of friends to get together and do this, or even a like corporate team building, any of those kinds of things.
So much.
This would fit really well into.
Yeah.
Have we featured this in the Knee Blast yet, too?
A lot.
Have we?
Yeah.
And we could add some of the other components we had. Remember, what was the Lunchables that we had, or the little
Incrustables?
Yeah,
peanut butter and jelly Incrustables.
So we're in the sticky
lunch
ship.
Always comes up, doesn't it?
Five lights in the wardroom, and we're sitting in there in this stinky ship that's filthy and dirty, and you know, just disgusting in a lot of ways.
Do we need to add an item to Vicky's?
Yeah, the Incrustables. I think about my diet back then. Oh my lord!
Yeah, it was a little
venti iced mocha from Starbucks in the morning with an apple fritter. Because I thought that the apple fritter had apples in it, so it had to be healthy.
Wow.
No, we had the couple's dinner, Jonathan.
And we had the couple's dinner that was a straw hat pizza. And because we had a salad to go with the pizza that we shared, then it was obviously very healthy because we had the salad.
Yes.
So, and don't mind saying this, this is 6 weeks of effort, which is completely on our dime. We were, in fact, you know, buying our own hotel rooms, paying for our travel, everything we had was all out of our own pocket. And so we would show up, as I recall, at 7 o'clock in the morning at the
Monday,
Monday. And then we would get on the little boat to go out to the row where the ship was at. And then we would get off at about 2:33 and come back. And we were so exhausted. This is the, you know, late summer, early fall of the Delta up there, hot and muggy. And literally we would go and sit in our hotel rooms and lay down on the bed. And we, about half hour, 40 minutes later, we'd say, "You up for dinner?" "Well, I don't know." We text each other from room to room.
Straw hat pizza is where we always ended up.
It was just right across the
couple
street.
Special.
We just didn't have any energy at all. It was just exhausting.
The couple special was 1995 or something for the couple special. A pizza, medium pizza, and two salads and two drinks.
I'm here to say he's a cheap date.
Yeah, it was perfect.
Hands was optional, but
I gotta tell all three of you guys. One of the most recent tours that I call it a tour. It's an experience. Anyway, the mothball tour. The
it
last
is not
one,
a tour.
You come
or
here
not
and
a tour.
Do the thing.
It's an experience.
The last one that I led, the group at the end, when we were with the finishing up part, part of it is a video and the YouTube pop up in it. And there's a, you know, thank you for participating kind of thing. And one of the people in the group turned around and said, "No, thank you guys for what you did."
Yeah.
That was super cool.
It really was.
And it's one of the fun parts of it is you, like for me as a guide, you actually end up creating a relationship with the people that you're doing the tour with, because it's just that kind of thing. It's like, it's a bonding experience on top of everything. And, you know, you end up joking around and laughing, and you're kind of rooting for them. And
that speaks to the culture here too, because that's how we bonded. You know, we had a 6-week experience and went right into Richmond, and then became, you know, this tight team that, with all these challenges. It was really amazing.
It very much pulls you into the family that's here. You really feel like you're a part of that. And while you're exploring the ship and looking around going, oh, this is cool.
Yeah. Neat stuff.
Perfect.
So yeah, that's I think we're good little wrap up of our model.
Yeah, we're made that one fairly short. Yeah. And everybody needs to experience that experience, because you're hurting my feelings if you don't. You're really missing out on it. And
seriously,
there really is exclusive stuff on all of the add-on tours that we have. There really is a really, really unique experience to be had. And as Marian was saying, we don't open those up for groups of 10, 12, 15. It's a more intimate group, because you really have a much more memorable experience doing it. And so,
well, that, and you're in spaces that aren't really big enough at times for a huge
There's
group.
A difference, and there's a reason behind that too, because I occasionally hear the expression of or even a complaint, you know, I wanted to go see the engine room. Well, there's a requirement, you know, the fire department wants us to either completely sprinkler the ship, which is a huge, huge, huge effort, or we can allow these smaller tours, which actually have a lot more value.
Yeah.
You know, you really, two and a half hours for the engineering tour, for the gun tour, you have some personal attention.
Yeah, a lot of personal attention.
A lot of stories. You really get to experience this thing. An engineering tour, it's literally stem to stern. It's from anchor windlass to steering gear. And it's just an amazing tour. You don't just wander through wondering what's going on. You actually learn and experience it in a really special way.
Yeah, and then with Mothball, you're getting into a lot of those places, and you're also getting into places where no one else gets to go,
right?
And doing it all on your own, figuring out on your own.
Most people don't know that we do have some requirements here with the fire department. It's not just a free for all. You know, they have some concern about public safety, as we do, and so there's some requirements there.
So yeah, we're gonna have to call it, because I have to move on. We're in November, and we are already immersed in LA Fleet Week planning meetings. For those that wonder what it takes to plan it, we are already in the middle of LA Fleet Week planning, and it is the middle of November at this point. And so I've got a Fleet Week planning meeting that kicks off in about 4 minutes. So I've got to head that direction.
As we like to say, half the year planning for Fleet Week and half the year recovering from it.
Now, half the year planning for Fleet Week and half the year planning for Freedom of the Seas.
Yeah.
Well, that's true. And half the year recovering from that as well. So thank you for joining us. I really appreciate the audience here, and would encourage you to come out and involve yourself in that interactive experience. The Mothball Tour really is where you kind of get to do some hands-on stuff in addition to the intimate tour experience for the other add-ons. As always, if you have questions, comments, please send them to podcast@labattleship.com. That's podcast@labattleship.com. Would love to hear your feedback. If you have ideas for us to take on new topics, or if you want to be a guest on the podcast, any of that, please send that information to us, and we will act on it. I guess that's it for today. We got to let Jonathan go to his meeting. So join us next time for another exciting episode of Scuttlebutt, the official podcast of the National Museum of the Surface Navy.